it is, the show that everybody's been raving about, ProCalc University, with your host, Tom Platania. Welcome to ProCalc University. I'm Tom Platania. I'm also the owner and founder of ProCalc's HVAC design company. Today's podcast is about the importance of load calcs. But what are load calcs? Load calcs help us to truly understand the home and its construction materials, the location, the direction, the elevation, and yes, even the use of the home. So why do we need to have load calcs? I mean, so we understand the construction materials and components, but what's going on that's causing us to need load calculations? And I just throw an air conditioning system in. The purpose of a load calculation is for us to be able to understand whether we're in the heating mode or air conditioning mode. Is in the air conditioning mode, we just want to take unwanted heat out when it's hot outside. And in the heating mode, we want to be able to add heat when it's cold out. And we're going to talk a minute about how that happens. So why is that heat, that unwanted heat, getting into my house? Or why am I having to continue to add heat to my home when I've already added it? What's going on? Where's all the heat that, when it's cold outside, where's all this heat that I put into my home? Where's it going? You know, and years ago, and even today, I hear from so many architects and builders and HVAC companies, and I got to give it that the architects and the builders have been, I guess, the wool pulled over their eyes from the air conditioning companies pushing this 400 to 500 square foot per ton. To their, I don't know if I want to say to their favor or to their side, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that's how we did it. You know, there wasn't a lot of the detailed technology and the things that we have, and everything had to be done by hand, and you had to be a mechanical engineer to do all this stuff. But over the years, things have changed, and using 400 to 500 square foot per ton to size a house, it's like a broken clock. You might be right. Well, a broken clock is truly right twice a day, but using 400 to 500 square foot per ton could be even worse than that. So why can't we use the 400 to 500 square foot per ton anymore? Well, it's because of the way we're building the homes today. You know, 20, 30 years ago, and there might even be some people out there now that have this, is maybe you have block walls with zero to no insulation in the walls. You have only 3 to 4 inches, if that, of insulation, and it's in the ceiling. Just there's so many different things. Your windows could be jalousie, the big awning windows, or single pane. And all of those things add to the factor of how much heating and air conditioning you need. And we're going to explain how those things do. Now, every component in your house has what's called an R value or a U value. I don't want to get very technical because that's not what this show's about. This show is just about the average or the above, slightly above average person, and to help you to understand. Now, if you're a master at this stuff, you probably know these things, but a majority of folks out there don't. And what that means is an R value is the measure of the thermal resistance or the ability of an object or material to resist the flow of heat from one side to the other. If we have a better R value, we're causing a greater resistance for heat to be able to flow in one direction or the other. And that's why having more insulation in the attic or the walls a lot makes it even harder for the heat to come through. The other part is the U value. Now, the U value is the thermal transmittance or the heat loss through a structural element. R value is what our ability to resist that heat is, and the U value is how much of that heat actually got through. What we're doing is when we're doing a load calculation, there's a joke, you know, out selling air conditioners and being a manufacturer's rep, whatnot. We had these jokes where we talk about that an HVAC guy, sales guy, would go out to a home and he would take this piece of paper and they would have 4 different size houses in it cut out, and it would go and stand on the curb, and whichever one of those cutouts your house fit into, was the size of the air conditioning system. It was just kind of a joke over the years we've had. The other one was using fingers. You know, go stand on the curb and how many fingers does it take to cover the house when you're looking at it? And that's the size of the air conditioning system. Because sometimes it that's what it seemed like people were sizing houses on. You know, this guy who's been in the business forever, who hasn't done any continuing education or trained or learned or done anything to bring his mind. I mean, think about it. Where are we today, technology-wise, from where we were 30-plus years ago? And if you're not changing or learning or educating yourself with those with the times, you're behind, way behind. You're going to be like that broken clock. So all of these things that we're looking at, we have to be able to logically determine. You can manually do this. Everything has an R value. So if you know the R value and you know the U value, you could determine how much heat's going to come through. And then based on the temperature outside. Well, years ago, and even myself, I would struggle to manually do that. So with the softwares that they have out there today, and ProCalcs uses a software called WriteSoft, which as far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, and there's going to be people out there, they're going to be listening to this, that are going to argue. And some of them are arguing that it's not the best software out there. Well, probably because they don't know how to use it. And other ones are out there because they just don't want to learn, or they have this mind block that there's something out there better. And, you know, nothing's perfect. Are there going to be flaws in something? Yes, nothing's perfect out there. But for us, I've been using WriteSoft for probably 20 years. And ProCalcs, our HVAC design company that does work all over the world, uses it and has been very, very successful using it. And how do we know we've been successful? Well, one, when you're doing the load calculation, you could put all this stuff in there, but the true test is when the air conditioner is installed and the client is happy. Now, from us designing the system and it getting installed and how well it functions at that point from two different aspects. And that's a topic for a completely different show that we're going to have, which talks about verifying how well your HVAC system was installed so that when you have it designed, you have a proper load calculation done. How close is that actual system functioning to what it should be? Not just based on the design, but also based on what the manufacturer says that system should be doing in that location. So some of the things that we're looking at, number one thing is windows. Windows are hands down the number one load in a house, whether it's in the heating load or cooling load, where we're trying to add heat to the home or take heat away. Windows are the number one factor that are going to cause heat to be lost or gained in a home. Years ago, like I said, we had the jalousie windows, single pane windows. Today, we have things double paned, triple pane, low E, air filled, argon filled. I mean, there's so many different types of windows out there. The two factors on a window for us, yes, there's a lot of things, and you could talk to a window company that'll tell you the details about why an aluminum frame versus a vinyl frame, or why single pane versus double pane. But to us, the only thing that we really care about is on windows is the solar heat gain coefficient, or called the SHGC, or the U factor. And those two values, if you've ever bought a window, or even when you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or any of those places, you'll see this big giant yellow sticker. On that big giant yellow sticker, you're going to see those two values. The lower those numbers are, meaning they should be below a point, 0.6, 0.4, 0.3. The lower those values are, the better the window is going to hold the heat out or keep the heat in. Now, in the cooler climates, the U factor is the biggest thing. Remember, we said the U factor was the ability for the heat to be lost through the structural. How much? So if we can trap more of that heat that's in the home from getting outside, the better we are. So in the colder climates, we want higher a lower U factor. In the warmer climates like Florida, we want a better SHGC, solar heat gain coefficient. Now, in many states, it's mandatory when you build a new house, you have to be within a certain range. Otherwise, the house will fail the energy calculations and code. Very important thing. Number one factor, you can reduce the tonnage in a home by half a ton, a whole ton, a ton and a half, and in the bigger homes, 2, 3, 4 tons of air conditioning just by having better windows. The next thing that's the most important is the walls. We have to determine, we have all this wall space, we have to be able to determine how much of that heat is being resisted and how much of it is allowed to come through. Well, a computer software program is the best way because it's a simple calculation. We have always used to do it by hand. I shouldn't say simple, but it's a calculation. Once you know the formula, you can do any component. But allowing the software to be able to look at it and engage it really helps. So walls, is it block? Is it frame? You know, a lot of people think that block wall, because it's thicker and whatnot, maybe have a better value, but that is incorrect. Most of your block walls, if you think about it, if you look at a cinder block, the cinder block's got this big, giant web gapping in there. So it's got the little webs and it's got a big hole. Well, that hole, even though there's air in there, has a little bit of a factor, an R factor, a U factor to it, but its ability is greatly diminished. When you have a frame wall, you have more consistent insulation all the way around. Now, block wall, when we're getting into construction, a lot more sturdier. You can soundproof it better. There's a lot of other things. But when you do the block walls, you do have to add a lot of additional insulation to get the same R factors that the frame wall would do on the block side. The next thing that's a big difference is insulation in your ceiling or roof. Years ago, your ceiling your insulation was in the ceiling, right? So if you went up in the attic, you looked across the floor joist, you would see insulation in the ceiling. And then you'd have this attic that in summertime in Florida gets 140, 150 degrees. I know because I used to crawl through those attics. I mean, they've had this product for a while, but it's become so popular where we've learned. And I have a video. If you go to YouTube, go to ProCalx University, there's a video on this I did. It's a little animated video. It's actually pretty cool looking. I used a software called Presenter Media, but it's really cool. And it really kind of gives you the understanding of this. So I really recommend that you go there. If when we have insulation in the ceiling, what we're doing is the heat is penetrating the roof. It's getting into the attic. Now think about this. On a 95 degree day, I'm increasing the temperature of the air in the attic to potentially 130, 140, 150 degrees. Now, yes, I could put a fan in the attic and help drop that down. But then what's happening is now I have this 140 degree air that I'm now telling my insulation that I put in the ceiling, hey, you need to stop this heat from getting into the home. Well, if I've changed it from 95 to 140, I'm making that insulation work a lot harder than it has to. But if I spray the roof deck, okay, so when I go up in the attic now, and I look at the floor of the attic, which is the ceiling of the home, there's no insulation, just your drywall or whatever you use in the ceiling. But if I look up at the roof, I'm going to see a spray foam. And what that is it's they spray the roof and it actually expands, kind of like a, you know, spray can foam that you have to seal little cracks and crevices. So they spray it on the roof, it expands, it seals, but it creates an insulation value. And there's different types. There's a closed foam, there's an open cell, closed cell, and you can go on YouTube and whatnot and look at those things as to what, you know, a lot of controversy about what's right, what's wrong. You would have to go and decide for yourself. But now what we're doing is we're stopping that 95 degree air from getting into the attic and turning into 140 plus degree air and then causing our insulation to have to work that much harder. Now, also when you do the spray foam, but there's a couple other things that help. One, because of the high hats, the lights and things that are in the ceiling, we do have typically a little bit of gaps and we want that. Because what happens is now we allow some of the air that's in the home to circulate through the attic, keeping the attic temperature about 15 to 20 degrees warmer than the house itself, depending on how big the gaps and stuff are. Now, if you need to dehumidify and things like that in your attic, then there's a good chance that the spray foam wasn't done correctly. Now, I know some architects put them in there as a precautionary measure to help keep the humidity down. And, you know, in some cases that might be used. What we're talking here is insulation. Usually R22 on the spray foam or up to R30 is usually a standard. Now, depending on the location you're in and whatnot, you may have to change that. So that's a big factor. The next, and here's one that a lot of people don't get, is the color of the roof. The color of the roof makes a difference. on how much heat in the summertime is going to penetrate through. Now, if we have spray foam, it's not as dramatic as if we have ceiling insulation. Another part of the loads is the floor. So in colder climates, the floor is a big culprit of allowing heat to escape. In the hotter climates, it's not an issue. We don't really need to mess with that too much when we're looking at for the cooling loads. But even in Florida, in the heating mode, there is going to be a heat loss when it's 30 some degrees outside. There is going to be something, and then has to be taken into account. One of the other things that a lot of people don't think about is the internal load in the house. Now, when I say internal loads, all your appliances. Every time you turn an electrical appliance on, it produces some type of heat. It could be very minimum, all the way up to an oven. When we turn the oven on, how much heat that it puts out. And obviously, better ovens, which are better insulated, are going to not allow that heat to get into the home. So appliances, computers, everything inside the home that it plugged in generates some type of a heat. Now, here's the one that a lot of people don't think of is us people in our homes, we put off heat. Everything that we do, they actually have statistics, numbers, values that we use based on what the individual person is doing to determine how much heat that person puts off. So whether I'm sitting at my desk, I'm standing at my desk, I'm walking, I'm dancing, I'm exercising, each one of those things, we have a value that tells us on average what the average person produces in heat, in BTUs, British Thermal Unit. And it's amazing. You would be surprised at how much heat we put off depending on what we're doing, our activity. The next thing that's a big part of this is infiltration. How leaky is your home? For infiltration, there's a couple of different things. If you have an existing home, you can still do this. Something less expensive that you can do is that you can actually go to theprocalcsstore.com, theprocalcsstore.com. And we actually have a smoke stick that you can purchase. And what this allows you to do is light that up and walk around your windows and your receptacle outlets on the outside walls. And if you have ceiling insulation, you can do it in the ceiling around as well. And you will see how the smoke gets sucked into a crack or crevice, or gets blown out depending on whether it's a positive or negative pressure. And this will really help you. Very inexpensive way for you to check. The best way, and a way that is now mandatory in pretty much every state, there's a few that haven't adopted it yet, is what's called a blower door test. And this is going to tell us exactly how leaky your house is. So what we do, close all the outside windows and whatnot, open up all the inside doors, and we put this device on your front door. And basically, it's just a vinyl screen with a giant blower in it. And what we're doing is typically we would either negative pressure, depressurize, or pressurize the house. You can do it either way. And using the formulas, a device, we can determine exactly how leaky your house is. And with the calculation we do, we basically can say, hey, if we took all these little cracks and crevices and put them all together in one big thing, this is how big this hole is. And that tells us in code what they call that is air changes, ACH, air changes per hour. And what we're doing is we're forcing the air changes in the house to determine how leaky it is. In the southern states, if your house is 7 air changes or less per hour, meaning all the air in the house has the ability to exchange 7 times in an hour, that passes code. Now, to me and to one of my clients I was talking to yesterday, that's like leaving your front door open. That's leaky. But for some reason, the southern states, that's their mandate. That's their minimum. If it's anything over that, your house fails. In the southern states, or especially in Florida, when you get down to 3 air changes per hour, then the building department requires you to bring in outside air. Brilliance, right? So we don't want your house to be too leaky, okay? But if it's too tight, we want you to bring in outside air again. I'm sure there's a method behind the madness, but now in the northern states, and there's a thing called climate zone. So climate zone 1 and 2 are the states that are required, usually 7 air changes or greater or lower. And then everything in climate zone 3 and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, must have a minimum of three air changes, which is, I like that. I mean, it's, you have to have three air changes and you have to bring in outside air. I guess that, you know, the kind of the understanding is if we're going to close this house up so tight that we're stopping heat from leaving, we're stopping heat from coming in, we're going to get a lot of stale air. That stale air, you imagine, you know, Dad, after a chili on Thursday night, well, you don't want that coming through the house, right? So you want to get that air out. You want to exchange the stale air that's in the house. You want to bring in this fresh air. And that's another podcast topic we're going to talk about, which is HRVs and ERVs. So finding out how leaky your home is, that can make a huge difference. If you're at seven air changes versus three air changes, that could be a ton of air conditioning different. I don't want to just have every house that we do and automatically put it at seven, because that means that I might have to have a 4-ton system where if the house is truly at only three air changes or it's a little tighter, may need a ton of air conditioning less. So it's very important to understand it. Now, if you're building a house for the first time, your builder should be able to let you know what their typical blower door test is. If not, I strongly recommend you get a blower door test as quickly as possible. And this can be done before the house gets CO'd. Once the thermal envelope of the house is completed, a blower door test can be done on the house. So check with your local testing company, your HVAC guy. Hopefully he'll know about it. And then, you know, little things, you know, like the air conditioning system. And when you're trying to cool your home, the air conditioning system has motors and whatnot in it. Those motors put off heat. Now, it's only a little bit of heat, but it does. And these are the things, all of these things, and there's a lot of other little things, but these are the biggest things that go into understanding the load calculation. How much air conditioning and heating do I require? How do I guess at this 400 to 500 square foot ton, like broken clock twice a day? Let's really get into it and fine tune it, and then find out what's the person going to be using the home for. Are you a work at home person? Are you going to have people living in rooms all day long, like a mother-in-law suite? They don't work. You know, they might go out here and there, but you may want to consider that. So if we're on the cusp of going from a 2.5 to a 3-ton and not taking the use of the home into consideration, we may be better off recommending the next size up, but maybe dialing the air back or something along those lines. This way we're not overcooling the home, but we're properly cooling it based on the usage. So these are the things. So truly understanding the home and its construction materials, its location. Where's the house located? Is it in Washington? I build the exact same house in Washington State, 2,500 square foot. I take that exact same house. I bring it down to South Florida. Those homes are going to need two different size air conditioning systems and two different size heating systems. If I were to use 400 to 500 square foot per ton in both of those homes, there's a good chance that I'm really going to mess one of them up, if not both of them. The other thing, the direction of the home. So we take this into consideration, because the direction of the home, if I use 400 to 500 square foot per ton and I have a house that's got a lot of windows on the east and west side, and this house is facing east-west, 400 to 500 square foot per ton may not even be enough. I don't know, but that's what the load calculation does. If the house is facing east-west or north-south, I mean, we have homes that we're designing right now for one of the big builders, and there's houses, we're at 900 to 1,000 square foot per ton, but that's because their blower door tests are coming at like 2.3 air changes. They're using really good windows, really good insulation. If we're not allowing the heat to get in, we're stopping the heat from getting in, we're using really efficient appliances in the home, which produce less heat. If my job for air conditioning is to remove unwanted heat, and by getting all better components to build the house, I've stopped a lot of this heat from coming in, I don't need as much air conditioning to get it out. That's the simple concept of it. So if I'm going to spend $20,000, $30,000 on double pane, low E, argon-filled windows, you need to stop and think to yourself, why am I doing it? Why am I spending this extra money? I could do it for $10,000. But if I'm going to spend it so that I have better windows, what's my reason behind it? Just to have, if I give you an argon-filled versus an air-filled double pane window, looking at it, you can't tell the difference. So why am I spending the extra money to reduce the amount of heat coming in or going out? It's because you're reducing the energy consumption by reducing the size of the heater or air conditioning system that's needed to either remove that heat or add heat to the house. If my U factor, I'm not allowing a lot of the heat to be lost as I heat the inside of the house, or even our bodies or our appliances heat the inside of the house, it stays, that the heat stays in the home longer, which allows us to be able to have less heating required. And then when we're trying to, it's hot outside, we're trying to cool the home, it stops a lot of that heat from coming in and blocks a lot of the cool air from mixing with the hot air and escaping. Very important. Elevation. Elevation is also a big difference. Well, as we go higher, the temperature is going to drop. But also with elevation, our equipment, like furnaces and whatnot, are going to function differently because of the pressure. Gas has a different pressure to it when it's at a higher elevation. And well, we use refrigerant gas in the system. So in an air conditioning system, and we have natural gas or propane in the heating system, the charge on that equipment may be different. The BTU capacity of a furnace is going to, we have a derating of those. So, you know, let's just say, for example, it's a 80,000 BTU furnace and we put it in a very high elevation, that unit may only be able to put out 60,000, depending on how high it is. So that's the things. And then what we talked about, the use. When you're building a home, or let's say you're listening to this because you're getting ready to replace your air conditioning system. I don't care if you've had the same air conditioning system for 30 years. You need to get a load calculation done on your home to determine if what's in there is the right size and how should it be set up. Because here's another thing to consider. Two houses side by side, same location, one's facing one direction, one's facing the other direction, windows on different sides, or actually the windows would be on the same side, but because the house is spun in a different direction, we have heat load coming in. One house is going to require more, and this is in the southern states, is going to have a lot more humidity and also direct heat in the home than the other one. So even though they're the same house, the same dimension, same windows, everything, and facing a different direction. So if I need more in what's called latent, which is humidity, if I need to remove more humidity from one house than the other, I am going to need to design the system differently. Now, let's say both of these houses, well, obviously the ones facing east and west is probably going to need a little more air conditioning than the one facing north-south. But also that one facing east-west may have more latent, more humidity removal that's required. So that means even if I were to use the same exact system, I am most likely going to have to adjust the airflow in the system that requires more humidity, latent control, to help that home. Because the slower the fan is, the more humidity we're able to remove from the air when we're in the southern states, climate zone 1 and 2 mainly. That is something that also has to come into consideration. So I might have the same exact system, might have the same exact load, but I also have different, what's called sensible capacity, which sensible capacity is what actually moves the thermometer, thermostat. And then the latent capacity is my humidity removal. So together, the total capacity of a system is sensible and latent combined, which give us the total. And so we have to take things. So there's so many things. Years ago, before I educated myself, that's what I thought. 400 to 500 square foot per ton. It's going to be a three ton system in every house. That's going to be, you know, 1600 square foot. Go in, it's done, it's happy. Now, because people aren't home, most people aren't home during the day, they might not notice a difference until later. And then here's the other part of this where properly sizing the air conditioning system is so important. When I'm sizing the house, I'm sizing it for the 1% peak of the day, of the year. So let's say that's 92 degrees. With every appliance in the house functioning, with people in the house, I'm taking all these and I'm saying, worst case scenario, this is how much air conditioning you need or heating. But what happens when it's not 92, 93 degrees outside? What happens when it's only 85 degrees outside and I don't need all that air conditioning? That means that only 5% of the time, the air conditioning system that was sized is the exact size it needs to be. The other 90 to 95% of the time, it's oversized because it doesn't have those same high conditions. All the appliances aren't running. All the people aren't in the house. It's not 92 degrees outside. A lot of different things. So if now I'm oversizing it because I'm using 400 to 500 square foot per ton, I now may be sizing it for only less than 0.5% of the time. So now that means that 99.5% of the time, I'm oversized. And what happens? In the southern climates where you have a lot of humidity, I'm going to have mold growth. And I talk about this a lot on my book, and you can actually go to procalcs.net, right on the front page, scroll down a little bit, you get my ebook at a good discounted price. And we joke around and we talk a lot about that in there. These are all the important things of why not just trusting your HVAC guy who says he's been doing this for 30 years, it's 400 to 500 or 500 to 600 square foot per ton. I don't care what number they use. And you know what? And like I said, broken clock, they might be right when they say 600 or 700 square foot per ton and then get lucky and say, well, I told you I've been doing this for 30 years, but every house is different. Have a reputable HVAC design company, a third-party company that is not has no monetary benefit from oversizing your home or selling you a different type of system. Find a third-party company that all what they care about, like ProCalcs, is what is the right system for you and your home, and not worrying about rules of thumbs or all these other things. Don't forget to check back next Wednesday around 10 o'clock. We're going to have another podcast. We're going to be talking about things. Hey, and if there's any topics that you want to learn or you want us to talk about, just send us an email at tom@procalcs.net. And all the girls in the office and our managers and designers will look at that. And we'll come up with a great podcast for you. So theprocalcstore.com. You can go there. You'll see it in the description of the podcast. You can go there and get your device, your smoke sticks. And we also have thermometers and thermostats and different things there that can really help you out to help you understand what the best thing for you is. Everybody have a great and happy Thanksgiving. Till next Wednesday.